The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes, bringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show in which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my whatever direction, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
Hey, good to be here.
Glad to have you here, Beth. We've made it, sort of, to the end of Dead Week. I have a big text group that I'm part of. I believe Professor Livesey is a part of that today. And one of the professors asked, hey, is that dangling Monday thing, does that still happen? I'm like, yes, it does.
I know my friend Audrey, who teaches at St. Joe's in Philadelphia, she texted me and she's like, are you all done? I'm done. You know, I said, well, we have this weird dangling Monday thing. So I'll be done Monday. She's like, well, that's kind of strange. I'm like, yeah. Well,
I actually laughed out loud, Beth, because further on down the chat, a certain person who is also part of that chat, who is a dean, chimed in, don't forget that exams start Tuesday. thanks for the reminder. Thanks for the safety point, you know. Oh my gosh, so funny. But do you have a lot of reading to do, Beth?
If we would have grades be due on the Tuesday, that would be better.
The fact that we have finals on Saturday and then grades are due by lunchtime Monday, it's a little ludicrous. It's a little bit ludicrous. Yeah. Professor Jim Tubbs is also here. You see, he's wearing his tiny, tiny bishop's monitor.
If I move up, it'll look like that little crown that was made for Queen Victoria.
You know, you do. Yes.
You look like Peter Cook and Princess Bride. So I keep expecting you to say, Mowage.
That's what I said. He should lead a wedding ceremony.
We are really messing up our listeners by talking about all these visual things.
We are, but you know, I'm pretty good going from Professor Jason Roach that we are always going to be capturing video going forward.
Oh, and dear Lord.
We're going to start throwing these up on our YouTube channel. So stay tuned. We'll be able to see
You mean we'll have to be decently clothed during our tapings?
From the waist up.
Oh, yes.
But I've forgotten where my pants are.
What are
it's
pants?
It's been a long quarantine.
Don't even think about doing a tubing.
Now, Professor Mara Livesey, you actually blocked your face when I said that we were going to start recording video.
I did. I put my face on today. You don't want to see me other days when I don't.
Okay, that's good. If you show up wearing a Halloween mask, we'll get the vibe. We'll still hear your voice. Everything will be fine, you know. So, but iPads are just the right size to block a human head. So,
You've given me a great idea. I think I'll need to purchase a handful of masks and just surprise you each week.
That would be great. That'd be no different than what Professor Dave Chow does with his picture, which I'm sure he's going to click into like right now. Right?
Hold on. I'm trying to find George Lazenby right about now.
There we go.
Oh, that's much.
There's little Ralphie.
He wants to put George Lazenby up so that the image of me on a tightrope juggling chainsaws will stop distracting people. People on the you can't see that at home, though, on the podcast.
Oh, well, Jeff, right. Wait till you see the photo I've chosen. So,
Dave, why don't you do Diana Rigg in her Game of Thrones outfit? Mm-hmm.
Jeff?
Unbelievable. Well, we've got Professor Jeff Boats here with us and all of his, I don't know, end of year finery, maybe?
I'm just looking forward to the George Lazenby pick that Dave's going to put up for me. I hope it's pre-beard, not post-beard.
Right.
Lazenby, you know?
Definitely.
Yes and yes.
All right. 003.14159. That's me.
Pretty much.
So. See, that's the thing. Math is an artificial language, right? So I think Jeff is just doing this kind of like meta, I am my discipline type thing by you know, being the voice of mathematics.
Oh, that's way too deep.
I will allow people to mistakenly think any brilliant thing about me they want.
That would be great.
Yeah, you're running Plato's Heaven, for heaven's sakes.
Professor Dave Chow is joining us, of course, today, a.k.a. Ralphie.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
I can't see that image, Dave, without thinking. I mean, I I don't know what it is, but I've read and listened to Gene Shepard so many times when he's speaking of the different flavors of soaps as if they were fine wines. I just like, this is beautiful, beautiful humor. Just beautiful.
I love that movie. That movie's so wonderful.
You wonder what kind of soap would have been needed to clean the teeth of the evil Scott Barker.
Oh. not a lava.
And at the end of the movie, that line where he says, he's explaining to his parents what happened. He said, it was the life boy.
The soap poison. Life boy.
Paralyzed him for life.
Like if it had been Paul Molliff, he wouldn't be this cripple blind person.
Professor Dan Maggio is also joining us today.
Hi, Matt.
What's going on, Dan?
Oh, not much. Long week. Now you've made me want to watch A Christmas Story, but I will wait until the 24th.
It's it will run 24/7 there for a while.
I watch it as much as I can.
Bye. So. See you later, Joe. My son Joe's going to work.
Hi, Joe. Where's he working now?
Yeah, he picked up a job at Hollywood Market in Royal Oak. So, groceries for you.
Fancy.
Suddenly became the Mayo family member who is going to be, no joke, basically first or second in line for the vaccine because essential workers get first hit. So that was weird, but that's the way it's going to be.
Jeez. Good. Well, Dan, send in the red shirts. So, Dan, are we going to go up there and order like a gallon of headlight fluid?
Yeah, I got to go. I'll harass. Is it what, on Main Street? I'll come visit them.
I actually think of you pretty much every time we talk about it, Dan, because your apartment was so close.
You remember that. I used to live right next door to that. That was a great apartment, great building.
Professor Stephen Manning is also here with us today. Good to see you, Stephen.
Good afternoon.
Excellent. Something about naps when we were doing our little pre-show chatter?
Yeah. Naps. Naps are good. Naps are good.
Stephen, you sound like you're still in one.
I am taking one as we speak.
Somebody mentioned Bishop with Jim's background. Mm-hmm. I have to recommend The Queen's Gambit.
Oh, I've heard that's been recommended several times to me. Yes.
Very good show. We're at the end of, I think it's first season is seven shows. I think we've got the last one tonight.
Okay. Very good. I have two recommendations.
I just started watching it last night.
Very interesting. Yeah. I think when I wake up, I'm going to take up chess again.
There you go.
Or give it up altogether, right?
Perfect.
Yeah.
The data, according to an NPR story I heard right before the Thanksgiving holiday, says there will not be enough chess sets for Amazon to deliver to keep up with the demand for Christmas this year because of that series.
Wow.
Wow.
Good.
Wow.
Well, that tells you how many people have Netflix, too, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So how old was everybody when they learned how to play chess?
That's a good question.
12, maybe.
Sixth grade, 12. For me, I think it comes with the territory. So, I mean, got to learn those intellectual things.
Being Canadian?
Really? Yeah. No, I hung around with the geeks in middle school. So I think I was about 12, 14, give or take, thereabouts. Yeah, I was an AV nerd.
You must have been a charming little geek.
Could have been worse.
I was about 5 or 6, I think.
My dad taught me. You were 5, Jeff, or 6?
I can't remember. Very young, yeah. They had this educator chess set where on the backs of the pieces it told you how they move.
Oh, cool. You ever
see that for little kids? It's called educator chess set. It's really cool.
Wow.
Nice.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks. This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. It's been a while since we've had a good set for chess. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or ask your favorite smart speaker to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. We have a set of questions here sent by a longtime question sender, although it's been a while, Mr. Frank Burrows and family from Valencia, California. Dear Matt and panel, I know this academic year has probably been one of the oddest in a long time. I hope as the holidays are upon us, we can still be thankful for all that we have. I know our family has been extremely grateful to you, your show, and the entertainment it gives us. In return, here is our submission or donation, if you will, of 20 questions for your Christmas or holiday themed show. We wish you all the best and the warmest of greetings, Frank Burrows and the Burrows family. P.S. We're still compiling a new list of ATP favorites. I'm sure the panelists picked up on the fact that we actually ran the entire table on the multi-page document the Burroughs family sent us. So for this special show, throughout these questions, I'd like to know what each professor's favorite portrayal of Santa has been over the years. So something to chew on while we do a few Christmas questions here. A few we've had before, but it's always good to think about them, just like our taxes, once a year. If you add up all of the birds from every additional repetitive verse in the 12 days of Christmas, how many birds are you going to get?
Dan? Jeff?
Yeah.
Save our bacon.
Math people, do
you I'll help with the numbers, but I don't know the lyrics.
So there's Jim? Four calling birds, three right. French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Oh, are those the only birds?
Those are the only birds. Geese
laying. Six geese laying?
Swans are swimming.
Seven swans are swimming.
Six geese laying.
Why are there so many
so
birds?
So 7, 6, four, three, two, one.
And a partridge in a pear tree. So 23. Well,
for each of those numbers, you have to multiply it by
the number of times that it's been repeated.
Which is that number subtracted from 13.
That's right.
This is why I went to art school.
So
any ideas 11, here?
20, 27.
Dan.
While Dan's doing the calculation, I will point out that if my wife Leslie were here, she would say that the translation is actually from, pagan roots. And when we are talking about golden rings, they were actually referring to golden ringed necked pheasants. So those are supposed to be birds too, although that doesn't count here. Oh. So you were getting birds for the first solid week. You're getting birds.
You had a small aviary.
I read somewhere an interpretation that they were all Christian symbols, and some of them were really outlandish. I mean, really outlandish.
Not Christmas carols.
So
I'm waiting for Dan
Jeff?
To cast his lot.
Jeff,
here.
I think Jeff said 151.
I go 174.
Oh,
174.
What does Dan get?
Dan said 174.
All right, so just take the average.
Oh, I said 154.
I'm sorry. So according to this calculation, it's 184. So, I mean, you're both very, very close barking distance there.
You got it.
You know the way that, because of Professor Hill, the way I do the error bars. I mean, within 10, we're pretty solid.
Well, one's a Siamese chicken. Don't worry about it. It's a two-headed chicken.
You know?
It counts twice.
Yep.
I didn't listen to Jeff's advice.
Or a Russian royal eagle with two heads.
All right, I see my mistake. All right, very good.
Redemption for the Baggio man.
Corrected the calculation. What pre-existing manufacturing equipment was used to make the very first artificial Christmas tree? Now, you could probably figure this out practically if you just think a little bit.
Aluminum foil?
Yeah.
Actually, we're thinking plastic, although it's good to think about it that way.
Oh, scrub brushes.
Yeah, they were toilet scrub brushes. Yeah.
Oh. Hopefully they didn't mix up the batches.
I was thinking more like bottle brushes, you know.
Oh, okay.
That's what those trees used to look like.
You know, bottle brushes would have been, you know, I feel like Alex Trebek,
better.
God rest him, you know, that's acceptable. That's acceptable. So who provided the voice of Kris Kringle in the original animated feature that Rankin and Bass made called Santa Claus is Coming to Town?
Mickey Rooney.
It was Mickey Rooney. That's right. Absolutely. Good old Mickey Rooney. There are some pretty serious anniversaries coming up for those Rankin Bass specials, Dave. We're going into the 40s and the 50s, as in number of years since release. That's pretty incredible.
Actually, what's amazing is I think the gentleman that designed all of them, I think he's still around.
Oh, wow.
He was one of the original Mad Magazine guys, but he's like one of those guys that he fell off the face of the earth. Last I heard, I think he moved to I think he did the Diane Manica thing, moved to Arizona and just became kind of a recluse.
Wow.
Well, I wouldn't call Diane a recluse, but
no. To and us. She says hello, by the way. I talked to her just the other day. Okay. She told me she sent some questions.
She sent some questions, and we'll be doing those in a couple of shows for sure.
So Johnny Mathis questions?
No, not any Johnny Mathis questions.
Oh. I was studying up on that.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, in which each of the eight professors participating in this recording session were connecting to each other from different locations, thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to our host, Matt Mayo, with more questions for the panel.
And we've got questions from Frank Burrows and family from Valencia, California. Which singing duo released their first Christmas album, which was entitled Christmas Portrait, on the 13th of October, 1978?
The Carpenters?
The Carpenters. Yeah, it was The Carpenters. A beloved Christmas album. And what better time to release, you know, your Christmas
album? I love that Christmas album. Yeah, I can listen to her sing anytime anyway.
They had some great Christmas specials. Yeah, I'll listen to her sing anytime. She
never get tired of her voice.
Regardless of what you think about the actual content of the songs, her voice is pretty incomparable.
Yeah. That woman could read a shopping list and I would listen to it. So.
Yeah.
So this is pretty funny. It was just about that time, late 70s. That the Billboard Top 100 started keeping track of the best-selling Christmas albums and the most played Christmas songs. I ask you, what was the best-selling Christmas album of 1980?
The Carpenters again?
It was not.
Oh, Charlie Brown?
No, that's a very good guess, Stephen, but we're probably going back to the late 60s when it comes to Peanuts.
To a little too early for Do They Know It's Christmas?
That was 84.
Mm-hmm. So how shall I put this? It's an intersection of Christmas and a very, very famous sci-fi franchise.
Star Wars?
It was the Star Wars Christmas.
Oh, Star Wars?
I never heard of it.
Really?
I don't know what to say except
That couldn't have been very good.
Yeah,
happy Christmas Monday. Special was legendary.
Yeah, this was during their disco era, wasn't it?
Can I just say that I Googled Star Wars holiday, and the first YouTube result is the most disturbing moments of the Star Wars holiday special. That's not a really good way to lead off.
At least it wasn't Grandma Got Run Over by the Reindeer.
Yeah,
it could have been worse. Like that song?
I tell you what, let's move a little bit over to something like this. What is the majority ethnic group on Christmas Island? 21%.
Christmas Island is what? Pacific or Indian Ocean? I'm trying to remember.
Incan?
It's north of Easter Island, isn't it?
Like maybe Samoan then?
No, that's not what it says
it's
here.
It's a South American country.
Hawaiian.
It's not Hawaiian, no.
What's the religious denomination? Isn't that what?
No, actually, they're asking for ethnic groups.
Oh, ethnic. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Mara, what did you say?
Oh, I was just clarifying that it was an ethnicity.
Ethnicity. I'll give you the rest of the rundown and maybe we can piece it together backwards. So 21% is number one. Number two is Australian, then Malay, then English, then Irish, then 41% are basically listed as other. But what is the number one?
New Zealand?
Well, like Filipinos or
Tanzanian?
Pacific Islander?
Yeah, Pacific Somebody Islander is that an ethnicity.
Yeah, generic, yeah.
White? Dili? I don't know.
It says that they're Chinese. 21% of the residents of Christmas Island.
Wow.
Really? I got the wrong address.
You could live out in the ocean.
You just strayed north. That's it.
Yeah. We just swam all the way here.
Yeah. Floated.
Cold swim.
A boat baby.
We got another question here. In America, children are traditionally encouraged to leave Santa Claus a plate of cookies and milk, but something different is left in Britain and Australia by tradition. What's that?
A Vegemite sandwich?
I'm going to go and say you're not that far off because it ain't cookies and milk. I can tell you.
Like blood pudding?
Mince pie.
It is a mince pie. Yes.
Ooh, wow. Tasty.
And suet.
Man.
It says here traditionally. With one of those tiny little glasses of sherry. No joke. That's
of awesome. Course.
He's got to stay warm.
Very, very distinguished.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, what is the profession of the fictional character Christmas Jones, all these James Bond fans?
Oh, was she's that a nuclear physicist.
What was that, Jeff?
She's a nuclear physicist.
Yeah, she's a nuclear physicist. Yeah, that's Denise she's Richards. Some
kind of Denise from Richards.
The world is not enough. Yes.
Not one of the more stellar performances.
No.
I wonder why you say that.
And actually, there are a lot of less than stellar performances.
Oh my gosh. Hilarious. What Christmas movie featured the children who had the names Linny, Jeff, Kate, Peter, Megan, Kevin, and Buzz?
I was going to say the Anthem Professor Home Alone. Show.
It's Home Alone. It's the McAllister children. Yeah. Yes.
Kevin was the giveaway.
Absolutely.
Little Kevin.
I got to say, that has a special place in my heart. I mentioned before that that's in my top five movies of all time. And yeah, that's fantastic.
I have never seen any of those movies.
What?
Highly recommend.
Oh, you should watch the first one.
The first one.
Yeah. First two.
I'll
even go to the second one. Yeah, first two. You need the follow-up.
I just cannot figure out how anybody could get on a plane to Paris without counting their children.
I
thought that they did a really good job of covering it up, Jim.
They did a good job of covering it up, but still, I just can't imagine that you wouldn't check and recheck.
Pretty basic, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, some people here have not had children.
Hey, this is a good trivia question that I'm going to go out and say. I've been helping with this show for about 20 years now. I don't know if we've ever seen this. This one's going to make you scratch your head a little bit. Three Tim Burton movies were set around Christmas time. What are they?
Edward Scissorhands.
Yes.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Absolutely. And?
Oh, Batman.
Batman Returns.
Yes, oh. Yeah, very good. Very, nice. Very good. That's a good one. I like that question. I'm a Tim Burton fan, so, you know, that's shocking to all of you.
I'm sure. A merry sort, too.
Cheerful.
What 1944 musical had Judy Garland singing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas?
Meet Me in St. Louis.
Meet Me in St. Louis. That's right. I just realized the other day, somehow, it came across my brain that very nice. Thanks, Emmett. what's the other one? We Need a Little Christmas Right Now is actually also from a Broadway show.
That's Mame.
Andy Mame. Yes.
You know, I think Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas with Judy Garland singing it has probably got to be the saddest Christmas song to listen to.
Yeah, aww. It's pretty sad.
It is Judy
Garland. And then, of course, Eartha Kitt singing Santa Baby is certainly the dirtiest.
Most provocative. How's about that?
In 2003, there was a TV special called A Carol Christmas. Who played the Ghost of Christmas Past in this 2003 TV special?
Tim Conway.
That's a good guess, and you're in the wheelhouse, but... Barbie
Corman.
Lyle Wagner.
No.
Vicki Lawrence.
Very famous for being a child actor on an 80s sitcom.
Oh. Gary Coleman.
Yeah.
Gary Coleman. I just, you know, interesting choices. I mean, we've all seen Scrooge with Bill Murray.
And I don't know if you guys remember a couple weeks ago, wasn't Gary Coleman like, was it the president of the planet Earth on Buck Rogers or something like that? Like,
That's right.
How did he get those roles?
Oh, my.
I haven't seen Scrooged either.
Oh my gosh, Beth, you've got a lot of catching up to do.
I'll have some educating to do this Christmas. Obviously, it's a good thing we'll have a 4-week break.
Hey. 5 weeks.
Five.
I think Beth's more the type that when you think Christmas movie, she first thinks Die Hard.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You haven't seen my Die Hard Christmas tree topper.
Yes, I have. Remember?
Dave has because I texted it to him. It's of John McClane jumping out of the top of the Nakatomi Plaza.
I love it. Nice. I love it.
I have a silly angel. I wish I had Bruce Willis.
Have you folks seen the Christmas ornament for that? Somebody took like a piece of like extruded aluminum, made like a box, and then put in that picture of like Bruce Willis climbing along, and that's like now a Christmas ornament for sale. Well,
sure, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
That movie is really long, though.
It is. It is
longer than I remember it being when I started on Christmas Eve. Drew and I are like sleeping halfway through it. I'm like, well,
And Alan Rickman is just so evil.
Oh, yeah.
I love him.
He does.
You need to design a Christmas ornament of him falling backwards from the top of the tree.
Oh.
And then when it gets to the bottom, a little escalator takes it back up and then he falls over and over again.
That would be brilliant.
Sisyphean, if you will. Hey, this is a really good one that I don't know if I've heard before, too, because considering, if you've ever seen the movie, by the way, oh, no, another one, Beth, sorry, is a recent movie from about 2 years ago that chronicles how Charles Dickens was under the gun to deliver A Christmas Carol and literally wrote it, not overnight, but in just a few days, considering how wonderful it is as a piece of literature and as a story. There was a U.S. president that used Jacob Marley's line, "Humanity is my business," when it came time to talk about business in America. Which president was that?
FDR.
No, but I was thinking three other letters, Beth, and then you've got it.
LBJ.
One more time.
JFK.
It was JFK. Yeah, it was actually nice. Kennedy. But you know, you had them prioritized in your mind. We covered all the bases.
I had them bookended.
You're closing in on them.
I just can't get over, you know, we do that thing every once in a while in English in general, where we like pick the Shakespearean bits that end up in our everyday speech. And there's a lot of stuff that comes
from that story.
A lot. I love Dickens. I'm sort of a slappy when it comes to stuff like that. So I'll lead us off for favorite portrayals of Santa so we can finish up our show here. I can't help but tell the story, fall of 1993. And of course, it's October and we're going to see The Nightmare Before Christmas. And all my friends and I really enjoyed it. And as we're getting back in the car after seeing the movie, my one buddy Dan goes, "So I'm not the only one who thought Santa was a real jerk in this movie." And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I've seen Santa as a jerk in a long time, but he kind of was a jerk. Favorite portrayals of Santa, professors?
Like in movies or, I mean?
Yeah, any way you can.
Miracle on 42nd Street.
That's, sure.
Yeah, that would have been my vote.
What, Edmund Gwynn?
Yeah, that was a great one.
34th Street? But
Miracle,
I know what you mean.
34th Street, yep.
Yep.
And my kids were riveted to that one. I don't know if it was because it was such a good movie or because they'd never seen black and white before.
Oh,
they were like, yeah. Is this real? Did they not have color back then?
It seemed more real, that's all.
I'm going to go for Tim Allen in The Santa Claus.
The Santa Claus. That's a great movie. I'm not quite sure about all those follow-up sequels, but the first one has a lot of charm to it.
Yes, all the rest are trash.
What you mean Billy Bob Thornton's Santa Claus?
Oh, bad Santa. That's a different story.
The Grinch. The memorable one is the one in Christmas Story when he, I can't get that.
Boot.
Shoot your eye out, kid.
Coming at him from Ralphie's perspective.
And the boot pushing him down the
I suppose anybody here is a fan of Santa Claus versus the Martians, right?
Oh, of course. Big John Call. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know it from the Mystery Science Theater riff on it, but I've still watched the movie.
The Grinch with Max.
Yeah, sure. Of course.
Okay, now here's an obscure one. What about the Three Stooges as Santa Claus?
Oh, my gosh.
Delivering presents? Okay, I'm the only geek that remembers that one. I'm so sorry.
Dan, I don't think we've heard from you yet.
I can't think of very many examples, so I'm going to go with Miracle on 34th Street.
I guess we get off a little bit here on Santa, and the time has come to say goodbye, Beth.
Goodbye.
Jim.
Goodbye.
Mara.
Goodbye.
Dave.
See you.
Jeff.
Have a very Brady Christmas, everybody.
Dan.
Merry Christmas.
And Stephen.
Bye.
Now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. We're produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Till next time, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.